Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello there and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. Barry Murphy here with you again from the news team. Before we get going today, on behalf of our news team, a happy new year to all our listeners and readers, and thank you for listening to us here on the podcast throughout the year. As always, we hope it's been useful, and if you ever have a query or news piece that you think we should cover, email us on news@farmersjournal.ie or any of the emails you'll see under our names in the weekly paper. But back to this week's podcast for now. I'm joined on the line by our dairy editor, Aidan Brennan, deputy news editor, Amy Ford, and news correspondents, Declan O'Brien and Noel Barden. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll discuss major nitrates and slurry changes to hit farmers from the 1st of January, cattle and sheep thefts, TB payments, and a land demand piece from Declan. And also then we'll wrap up with an EU census piece from Noel. So lots to go through and we'll kick into it. Aidan, over to yourself first. You've detailed analysis of the looming nitrates and slurry changes for farmers coming from the 1st of January. Can you give us a bit of detail?
Yeah, Barry. Look, in many ways, I suppose 2021 and 2022 were years for talking and consultation and public consultation. And 2023 is the year for action. We're seeing, you know, massive changes in the way, I suppose, dairy farms are going to be able to operate in the main, because they're the ones that are most affected by the nitrates directive and the nitrates action programme. So two big things that are coming in this year are the banding. So this is assigning each dairy herd to different levels of organic nitrogen excretion rates per cow based on their historic milk yield. So in the main, you're talking about like 75% or 80% of dairy farmers are going to see their nitrate excretion rates per cow increase from 89 to either 92 or 106, depending on their milk yield. And that's going to mean that they're going to push up to their limit faster. And these limits are, you know, in the main 170 kilos per hectare to get into derogation in the first place. And then 250 kilos is the upper limit for derogation. Now, the other big thing in 2023 is that there's going to be a midterm review, which is going to change that upper limit from 250 down to 220. So, Barry, you have these two huge forces working in opposite directions. You know, the figure per cow is increasing and the ceiling per hectare is decreasing. So farmers, and as I say at the start of the show, in the main dairy farmers are going to be really affected by this. And you're going to see, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 dairy farmers having to get extra land in order to maintain the existing cow numbers that they have. So I would see this year as being putting huge pressure on the land rental market. Costs per acre is going to increase and demand is going to increase. And, you know, I'd say other sectors are also going to feel the pain here, because if you're a tillage farmer and you're competing with dairy farmers for land, we know the profits dairy farmers made this year, so they have more money in their pocket to spend. So that's one of the main changes. Look, across the board, there's changes for all farmers in all sectors. But one of the key ones that many farmers maybe haven't grasped fully yet, and it was our front page story, is around the fact that anyone that stocked over 130 kilograms of organic nitrogen per hectare would have to carry out soil sampling and a nutrient management plan in order to maintain their existing or qualify, if you want, to buy chemical phosphorus or to import slurry onto their farm. Otherwise, it'll be presumed by the Department of Agriculture that all their soils are at index 4, which means they have no allowance to buy in any kind of chemical phosphorus or import slurry. And that's going to have huge implications for farmers. If they break those rules, you know, inadvertently and not realizing it, let's say, they're liable to get fined under single farm payment, or the BIS as it'll be in 2023. So there's, you know, big implications there across the board. Low emission slurry spreading is now mandatory for all farmers stocked above 150 kilos of organic nitrogen. And it's very easy to hit those organic nitrogen limits. You know, in my analysis, there's about 10,000 or so dairy farmers that aren't in derogation, farmers in total, not just dairy farmers, farmers above 130 kilos of organic N, but aren't yet in derogation. So, you know, there's a big cohort of farmers now going to be pushed into derogation-like rules, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, it's very interesting stuff, Aidan. And I suppose the way I look at it is it's very complex and there's a lot in it. So essential reading there for listeners in this week's paper on that spread from Aidan on the changes. And just sticking with yourself, Aidan, look, we had the Climate Action Plan launched last week and we've further coverage of it in this week's paper, including farm organization reaction. There's very little in that that's a cold scheme, or, you know, there's very little direct measures to make farmers dairy or beef or livestock farmers to cut numbers, and they're more kind of pull factors to other sectors like tillage and to biomethane generation and so on. And look, land, Declan will cover it off in a bit now, but it all leads to, I suppose, greater demand for land. Are the nitrates changes going to push lads out of dairy production? Is that what we're looking at, or will we see kind of that they'll find this land and that they'll cut cow numbers for an estuary, or what's going to happen?
I don't think it'll push farmers out of dairy farming, but it'll definitely change the way they farm. And yes, I think ultimately it's going to reduce profitability. That's one key thing in it. Whether or not it improves water quality remains to be seen. And that's why the derogation was set up and the directive was set up in the first place. Like the whole idea of reducing stocking rates, you know, the science does not say, and Chagas analysis and new Chagas report has qualified this. It says that, reducing the stocking rate won't do anything for water quality. So there's other measures that the department could do to improve water quality, but cutting stocking rate isn't one of them. But it will reduce profitability. We know that for a fact. You know, reduce profitability by up to 20%. Look, extra land will be sought, I say, by dairy farmers and will be got by dairy farmers. But that's an extra cost. It's land that they can't do anything with. You know, they can't put extra stock in it. It's just going to be left there. And, the risk then, I would say that some farmers might decide to go to sow maize or some other, cultivation type crops and that, which is potentially opening that land up for more nitrogen losses and changing the system then and bringing back more nutrients onto the milking platform. So there's a whole load of different, areas that we could go in here. But I don't see that either the climate action plan or the nitrates derogation changes, meaning that farmers are going to get out of dairying, but it's definitely going to make it harder for them.
Yeah, very much so. Whatever way you look at it, it's all going to impact the farmer, these new rules. So look, thanks for joining the podcast, Aidan. We'll move on to our deputy news editor, Amy Ford, and moving away from the dairy side of things into one look that's we're always writing about it, sheep and cattle stolen in different parts of the country. And we've had some coverage in this week's paper and in last week's paper as well, Amy. But you've detailed figures there on cattle and sheep thefts over the last year, I think it is it?
Yeah, that's it, Barry, to date in 2022, essentially. So a total of 1,381 cattle, essentially, which could potentially be worth, in the region of about €700,000, taking a conservative estimate of €500 per head. You know, they could be valued at that amount. Of that number, 112 are actually reported stolen, and then 1,269, to be exact, are reported as missing. So the department records them in two different ways, one being stolen, one being missing. Like, what's the difference? I'm not sure. Is it a farmer ringing up and saying, I've 10 head of stock stolen, or there's 10 of them missing and they go in as that? It's to be confirmed, you could say. Just one animal of the 112 reported stolen was actually recovered, while 43 of them that were reported as missing were recovered. So very small numbers. Looking at county wise, look, Limerick is the county with the highest number of animals reported missing, with 227 and 64 stolen. 17 were stolen in Kildare. There's nearly no county is nearly impacted, and everyone nearly, whether your village or parish, always has a story of stock going missing. The sheep side of things, Barry, I might let you talk about that yourself. You've written that one for this week, but that's on the front that the department only records stolen cattle and not stolen sheep. And I know you figures from, is it 2020 and 21 there, or 22?
We do indeed, Amy. Yeah. So 1,000 sheep thefts reported to Gardaí over those 2 years you've mentioned, so 2021 and 2022. And just interesting, I know Rachel Donovan, our colleague, has recently had a spread on that as well, on sheep thefts in Wicklow in last week's paper. So lots of theft going on there as well. And it's not just the cattle being taken out of farms. But sticking with yourself, Amy, and look, our colleague Noel Barden had a very interesting piece on page 3 of last week's paper on TB reactor numbers going up, I think something like 5% of an increase this year. Despite, I suppose, continued testing and the department's trying to clamp down on TB. You've detailed, though, on TB payments in this week's paper. What can you tell listeners?
Yeah, TB, Barry, it's something we're always talking about, something that I have a feeling it's not going to wane in the coming years. Almost €25 million in TB compensation payments have been issued to farmers who were locked up with TB or had reactors in the last year. That's the latest figures we have. End of year figures have yet to be confirmed, but I'm sure they'll surpass last year. So last year, there's a record €25.5 million in compensation payments issued to farmers. Like, it's never been this high. The amount of reactors, as you said, has creeped up again, and Noel covered that off last week. Breaking down the figures, €20.7 million was paid out under the on-farm market valuation scheme, and €4.6 million of that went in compensation to TB-stricken farmers in Cork. Tipperary is also high as well in Wicklow, and you might ask, why are these counties so high? Well, Cork has the highest number of cattle in the country, between Derry and Meath stock, Tipperary is fairly high as well. And then in Wicklow, it's had a long-term problem with TB in the form of both regional vet offices or district vet offices. The county split in two there, having issues over the years with deer and other issues. Under the income supplement scheme, 2.6 million has gone out to farmers so far in 2022, and 470,000 out under the hardship grant. And finally then, the depopulation grants, €321,000 gone out in the form of that, and payments were being made through the Christmas period and into the new year, obviously. So basically, the department's on track to issue, you know, possibly record compensation again, and numbers are continuing to go up. Like, it's not a good story at all.
No, not good news at all. And look, I suppose the way most farmers look at it is that they're hoping TB stays away from their door, but that map is very interesting to see the counties that have been hit the most. And I think it's interesting to look at it from a Wicklow perspective, where they've defined the Sika deer now as the maintenance hosts, as well as the badger in that county. So look, it's a never ending story at the moment, but you'd hope that trend reverses next year or in the new year. Moving on to news correspondent Declan O'Brien. Look, we touched on it earlier with Aidan, Dec, this increased demand for lands due to the nitrates derogation. And I know this is one you've covered off before as well, but you have a very comprehensive lands demand feature in this week's paper, which I suppose you're tying up kind of all the strings in this one with the different stakeholders competing for land across the country. What are the key points from it for listeners?
Well, I suppose if you use the analogy of the land market being a football pitch, then we're not short of players. You know, traditionally, while farmers have dominated the market, there is a lot more interest groups now coming into that space. You know, you have talk of investment funds, hedge funds coming into the forestry side. You have people looking to offset carbon emissions. You have forestry interests, obviously, chasing the higher premiums that were announced. Now, what we're looking at is, I suppose, crystal ball gazing and saying, OK, is there room for all these various competing interests? And who will dominate the market in the coming years? Up to now and probably into next year, commercial farming interests are certainly looking at continuing to set the tone of the market, with dairy farmers being the primary movers and shakers. But a two-tier market is, auctioneers are saying that a kind of a two-speed market is developing, where if you're in an area where you have a lot of dairy farmers hunting land, where you have good, strong tillage farmers, then you're at the upper end of the market. Whereas if you're in an area of more marginal land, these competing interests for re-wetting, for rewilding, for forestry are coming in and competing with your traditional dry stock farmer for the available land. And it's just a new dynamic in the whole land market and how that will evolve. I think we are preempting, in a way, the Farmers Journal's own land survey, land price survey, and saying, looking at the movement rather than maybe just the prices and where this is going and how it is likely to develop.
Yeah, no, you've teed it up well there, Dec. There's plenty of reading in it, and you'd say it's essential reading as well for anyone in that land market and anyone looking to buy land over the next few years. It's all only going one direction. And moving on to news correspondent Noel Barden. Noel, look, you've had some really interesting stories over the past few weeks on EU affairs. You had your exclusive interview with the Commissioner for Agriculture in last week's paper, and another piece on an EU census. Can you tell listeners this week on what's the main part of that piece you have?
Yeah, so this is the 2010 to 2020 EU census. So it ran up to 2 years ago, but it takes them a bit of time to have a look at the data and to analyse it and see what trends are emerging. And I suppose the main one that came out of this 10-year census would be that the number of farms in Europe is declining, and declining quite sharply. So there's about a quarter less farmers in Europe now than there was 10 years ago. And this kind of puts into perspective a lot of the stuff that the commissioner would have said during the interview. in terms of holding on to smaller and medium-sized farmers, and maybe certain environmental schemes like organics being able to help these smaller sized farmers hold on where they otherwise would have had to sell up. So we're seeing a lower number of smaller farmers in the EU, but the number of large farms, so farms over 100 hectares in size, went up by 14%. Irish specific data, it's similar in some regards. Like, we do have less farmers now than we had 10 years ago, but it's only about 7% compared to the EU's 25%. So our smaller and medium sized farmers, they're holding on a bit better than the EU average. Other figures that were of relevance to Ireland would have been on organics, where the EU went up by 2/3 over the 10 years, but Ireland grew by 250% the area under organics. Mixed farms, they're going down in Ireland and across the EU. So there's more farms that are tillage only or livestock only, whereas 10 years ago, there was a bit more mixed farming going on. And this was said in the census to be maybe increasing the dependency on chemical fertilizer and maybe decreasing the resilience of these farms. So maybe if it's a good year for tillage, but not so good of a year for dairy and beef, the mixed farm can kind of moderate these effects, and there's less ups and downs and it's a bit more stable. But we are seeing less of that across Europe and Ireland. I suppose one area again where Ireland kind of stood out was the number of farmers aged under 25, where it was up by almost 50% here over the 10 years, and it went the other way across the EU as a whole. There's significantly more female farmers under the age of 25, but at the same time, if you look at the main kind of cohort of younger farmers, so farmers aged 40 or aged under 45, this is going down in Ireland. And the number of farmers aged 65 or over is going up. So we are still seeing that our farming population is aging here, and that there are people farming longer into their later years. So there's quite a few interesting kind of figures in that, and we have them pulled out nicely there on the page. But yeah, definitely one that will be of interest to our farmer listeners this week, Barry.
Yeah, definitely, Noel. You said it yourself. Essential reading for listeners on our New Year's newspaper. And look, I think that the key takeaway I have from it is, you know, that there's less farmers in mixed production. They're specialising, or they're going into organics, and a change in land use, and Dec covered it off as well. But it's always interesting to take stock and kind of map out these changes. So you've done that well. Look, that's it for this week, folks. We've lots more in this week's paper from all our team and across all farm sectors. More on all discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. Thanks for joining and for listening throughout the year. Safe farming, happy new year, and talk to you the next time.
In this year's Irish Dairy Farmer magazine, we take a look at high clover swards in Offaly and visit dairy farmers across the UK. We stop by a second unit on leased land in Cork, plus a new startup farm in Mayo. And we put automated heat detection aids to the test. The Irish Dairy Farmer magazine by the Irish Farmer Journal is available by subscription only, and is on sale now at www.ifja.ie/dairyfarmer.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.